but mighty through God. We have a weaponry that is a spiritual weapon through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. These are the works of the wicked one. He exalts himself. He brings himself to be strong, and we are to be able to have those imaginations and of wrong things and wicked things cast down, and we are to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. And so Paul tells the church of Corinth that this battle that we are in is a battle that rages up here in our mind. It rages, and nobody may know about it, and nobody may understand it, and nobody may even comprehend of the thoughts that go in our lives and the thoughts that the devil puts before us. And it's a battle that continually bombards us, and sometimes it gets very difficult. Sometimes it gets very hard and gets very long, but we must remember we are equipped with the gospel. We are equipped with the things of the Lord, and certainly we have our armament and we can carry our bows, but we better not run. We better not lay them down in the time of battle. And so it's a battle with the mind. It's a battle with the flesh. From whence come wars and fightings among you? James says, come they not hence even of your lust of the wars in your members? This body of flesh, this body in which we live, is continually being bombarded by the wickedness of the world and the lust of the flesh. You see, the devil will fight us in three different areas. It's always. It doesn't matter where. It doesn't matter what it is. Three areas where the devil will fight us. And he will bring about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Every wicked thing that comes to our heart and to our lives can be categorized in one of those three things. It's either through our eye gate, it's the lust of the flesh, our desires that we have, or it's just this thing of pride that comes up within us. And so it's a continual battle with the flesh. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul." So here is a fleshly lust, but it wars against the soul of an individual. And so it's a battle with the mind, it's a battle with the flesh, it's a battle with satanic powers. I believe this is where many times we lose out, because we sort of want to say, well, that's really not what's coming after me. But, my friend, there's satanic powers all around us. The Bible says that we wrestle against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness. And we know who that is. That's the wicked one and his cohorts. And we are battling against the rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. And then Paul tells us in Ephesians 6, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, stand." There's sometimes we want to fall. There's sometimes we want to run. There's sometimes we want to turn back. But we are to stand. Now these folks of Ephraim, the children of Ephraim, they were armed. They were carrying bows, but they turned back in the day of battle. They had had their war in the mind. They'd had the war in the flesh. They were dealing with satanic powers, and sometimes, one time or another, we think we're going to quit. You say, "Preacher, have you ever thought about quitting?" Sure I have. Just like you have. All of us. Because the wicked one comes and plants these things in our lives. Now, if a Christian quits on the Lord, it's not God's fault. Sometimes we want to blame God. Sometimes we want to put it on God's on His shoulders, but it's really not His fault. 1 John 4 and verse 4 says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." And so we have a great advocate. We have one that helps us, and greater is He than he that's in the world. And so there's no reason for us to quit, no reason for us to give up. It's not the Lord's fault if we do. It's not somebody else's fault if we do. We can't lay it off on someone else. And we just have to realize it's between us and the Lord. We have to deal with these things. And as I was looking at these verses, as we'll be looking at some of them in a few moments, we need to realize that there is a battle, but we have a responsibility. And I dealt with a little bit of that this morning. We find here the children of Ephraim being armed. I mean, they had the ability and they were carrying their bows. They turned back in the day of battle. Why did they turn back? There has to be a reason. Just like I've thought so many times since this past week, why are churches that were once filled, why are they empty? There has to be a reason. Why are churches in America closing up at an alarming rate? I'm talking about good churches and churches that once stood for the faith and stood for the things of God, and now they're dwindling down and they're dwindling away, and sometimes there's just enough in people and maybe two or three churches, and they consolidate to make one church that they can continue on with the little that they can. Why does that happen? What makes that be so prevalent in this day in which we live? Well, I think these verses that we'll look at tonight give us some of the reasons. As you look at verse number 9, and this is our main verse, as you look at verse number 9, I believe we find that they turned back because of a lack of commitment. They just was not committed to the battle. They were not committed to the task that was before them. They knew the battle was there. They knew the armies were there. They knew the problems were there. And they had their bows. They had their arrows. They were armed, but they were not committed. There's a lot of Christians tonight that are armed with the Word of God. They're armed with the salvation in their soul. And they're armed with the goodness of the Lord. But they're just not committed to take that step and to fight the battle. Ephraim was mighty, even though it was mighty, that particular tribe. Joshua spake into the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, "Thou art a great people and hast great power." There we find Joshua 17:17. He is dealing with this one group that is of a great people and great power. They were mighty and they were able if they were willing. You know, tonight we are a mighty people. We have a God that can answer any desire of our heart. We have a God that can do for us what nobody else can do, and so we are a mighty people if we will but commit ourselves unto the Lord. But sometimes we don't serve God as we should, and we don't have the victory in our life because we're just not committed to what the Lord has given to us. Paul said, told the church of Corinth, "But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." I've already won the victory, and you have also if you're saved. The victory is ours. The victory has been won. The victory is ours for the taking, but it is only taken when we are committed to the task to do what we must do and to watch and to stand and to pray. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, "Watch ye, stand in the faith. Quite you like men, be strong." And so there's a time that we're to watch, there's a time that we're to stand, and there's a time that we are to fight. There's a time that there is a battle that is going on. We already have the victory. For John, the Beloved, says, "Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. "For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves." We have these things given to us as a part of our armament, but we will never win the battle. We will never advance the things of the Lord if we're not committed to the task. It's easy to come to church. It's easy to go through the motions. It's easy to sing the songs. It's easy to even put in our tithe. But sometimes it's very difficult to say, "I'm committed." And by the way, come to church and sing the songs, giving our tithes and offerings, does not mean we're committed. It does not really mean that we are truly committed to God. We have the armament, we have the bow, we have the arrows, but sometimes we're not willing to put them to flight. They turn back because of the lack of commitment. Number two, they turn back because of a failure to fulfill their responsibility. You see, it was in the day of battle. Well, you're not going to have to fight unless there's a battle. They were unwilling to commit themselves to fulfill their responsibility. Their responsibility was to use the arms, to use the arrows, to use the bows in the day of battle. Well, when the day of battle came, they turned coat. When the day of battle was there, they ran. They went the other direction. And they turned back in the day of battle. When the battle was raging, they were nowhere to be found because they would not fulfill their responsibility. You and I tonight, as a Christian, we are responsible to the Lord. We are responsible to serve Him and to honor Him and to love Him. We are to do everything that God commands us to do, and sometimes we will shirk our responsibility. We will just step aside and say, well, nobody will miss me. Nobody will think wrong of me. I'm going to back off for a while. Brother, when that happens, we're in trouble. That's a first step. That's a step that we take to begin our turning back in the day of battle. They were not willing to pay the price. You see, the price was to fight. The price was to stand. The price was even maybe, possibly, for some of them to lose their life. I don't like to hear stories from around the world. I'm sure some of you have heard it this week of the preacher that is in Iran. And the courts told him if he did not renounce his Christianity, if he did not renounce the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was going to be executed. And he refused to renounce. You know what he's doing? He's standing on principles. He's standing on salvation. What would we do in that situation? Now, he didn't turn in the day of battle. I haven't heard in the last day or so any of the things that might have happened. I don't know if they did execute him. I know they were discussing maybe not to or whatever. I haven't heard, but thank God he was willing to say, I'm a Christian. I'm not going to renounce the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, the history of the New Testament church is splattered with the blood of men and women that said, I will not turn back. I will not renounce. I am a Christian. It'd do us all good maybe to have a long session, a few sessions maybe, on some Baptist history to find out where we came from, to find out what they went through, to find out how they died. And there's a little book been written years ago. Many of you have it. We've studied it before. It truly is a trail of blood. It truly is a trail of blood of men and women that sometimes were sawed asunder. Sometimes they were hooked to the horses, their feet with one horse and their arms to another, and they would whip the horses at the same time and they pull them apart. It's just because they were Christians. Nero, that great ungodly leader of Rome, he would light the pathway of the streets with the carcasses of Christians, light them as torches. Because they would not renounce. And then we turn our backs in the day of battle. Oh, we better fulfill our responsibility. Because the Lord, whether the world wants to believe it or not, the Lord is a man of war. He is one that will bring forth judgment. Exodus 15, verse 3, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. And the word there, Lord, our capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, which means Jehovah. Our God is a God of warfare to fight. And we are to follow after Him. Now, I know the soft, liberal crowd don't like to hear that. And you know what? The liberal religious crowd and the liberal political crowd, they're double first cousins. They don't believe anything is true. Somebody said, are you a Republican or a Democrat? I'm a conservative. I believe we need to have the conservative views of the Scriptures and those things. Our God is a man of war, and the Ephraimites were men of war. 1 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 30 says, and the children of Ephraim, 20,800, mighty men of valor, famous throughout the house of their fathers. But yet, here in this verse, it says they turned back. They had the history. They had the pedigree. They had everything. Bottom line is, they were not responsible. They were not committed. You and I tonight, we'd also be people of warfare. Watch, stand fast in the faith. Quiet you like men, be strong. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Paul said, I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith. That sort of sounds like he was a fighter. Sort of sounds like he was in the battle. He didn't quit. He didn't turn back in the day of battle. Neither did he renounce his Lord. And because of that, the Apostle Paul, the great preacher of the New Testament, he was martyred because he would not turn back. In any conflict, there's a price to be paid. In any struggle, in any war, there are things that we will lose. But in every war, there are things that we shall gain. Thank God for the gains. Some say, well, I think it's just too tough. Some say, I think it's not worth it. Some say the casualties are too high. Not if this is on the line. Not if this is the battle. Now, I may have some preferences that are not worth fighting for. But this book's worth it. I may have some of my own personal things that I think is right for me, and that's my business. But some of those are not worth fighting for. Those are just preferences. I can do without some of those things. But I can't do without my book. I can't do without my Lord. I can't do without His presence. And so, why turn back in the day of battle? It's not too tough. It's not too hard. And sometimes the first sign of casualties, we want to run, turncoat. That's what's wrong in our country tonight. Well, we want to fight a battle, but we don't want to kill anybody. We don't want to have anybody killed. Well, I think if you're going to fight the battle, fight it and get it over with and come home. And we're not doing that. And so we find that the battle's out there. The battle rages, and the reason that these folks turned back was because they just were not committed. They just did not fulfill their responsibility. Their responsibility was in the day of battle to fight. And the Scripture says they turned back. The third thing they did was by rejecting the Word of the Lord. Look in verse number 10. They, speaking of Ephraim, the children of Ephraim, they kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law. Now, there's a bad place to be. There's a bad place for any child of God to be when you turn your back and you reject the ways of the Lord. They're just not worthwhile. Well, my friend, it is worthwhile. There's an eternity out there before us. There's an eternal Lord that one day we shall meet, and it's worthwhile. But they rejected the ways of the Lord as not being worthwhile, and they kept not, and they refused to walk, and whatever reason, they refused both God's Word and God's good way. Notice there, they kept not the covenant, and they refused to walk. The covenant is His Word, the law is His Word, and the walk is His way, and they refused both of them. And when you refuse His Word, you're going to refuse His way. That just falls hand in hand. So they turn back. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Tremendous verse. Where is a good way? See, the old path is a good way. And Jeremiah says, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find trouble. You know,
ye shall find rest for your souls. You shall find rest. But they said, we will not walk therein. Here's the responsibility once again, the refusal to do what God tells them to do. And America is guilty of that. Churches all across America are guilty of these things. And may God help us as a group of believers not to be guilty of turning in the day of battle. I don't know what's on the horizon. I don't see anything good. I pray God help us to stand in the day of battle. If it means a struggle, then we struggle. If it means a problem, then we have problems. If it means whatever. Oh, that would never happen in America. It's happening all across our country. The more I live, the longer I live, the more I study my Bible, I understand the Scripture that says, will the Lord find faith when He comes? That's why I believe He's coming very soon, because if He doesn't come soon, there's not going to be any faith. It is passing by the wayside. I have read some of the minutes of these older churches, and buddy, we would have problems tonight. I mean, they would take somebody that had missed two or three services and they'd just bring them before the church. We'd all be in trouble. Things change. But God doesn't change. The battle is raging, and as much as we have to continue to bring this before people, because if we're not careful, we'll be lulled to sleep and we'll not be battling. We'll not be fighting. Oh, sometimes it may get tiresome hearing sometimes sound like the same message, just a different text. But we got to battle. We got to fight. It's not easy. It's very difficult. It's hard. But they did not fulfill their responsibility. They were not committed, and they just simply rejected the work, the way, the path of God, the word of the Lord. This is not a shouting message. This is a message that we are to look inside. Where do I find myself? They turn back through their own forgetting. Look with me in verse number 11. They forgot His works and His wonders that He had showed them. Christians are so forgetful. We forget how God has delivered us from so many things. We forget of the great blessings of days gone by. These folks, these that turn back, the commentary is here. The Scripture is very clear. It says they kept. And that's a continual statement here in verse number 11. Verse 9 says they turned back in the day of battle. They, referring back to the Ephraim, they kept not the covenant. They refused to walk in His law. And they forgot His works and His wonders. God is a wonderful God. He does so many things for us, and He's a miraculous God. Oh, but it's so easy to forget what God did for me yesterday. It's so easy for me to forget how God delivered me from a problem 5 years ago. I couldn't do it myself. I couldn't depend on anyone else, but somehow God miraculously gave me the victory, and we forget about that. Oh, it's good right at the moment, and we rejoice in it, and we thank the Lord for it. But if we're not careful, we'll forget. If we're not careful, all we'll think about is how it used to be. The Bible talks about the former temple. Those people of Israel, they were always thinking about the former temple, how God blessed them in that. But there's some things that need to be done now. And so these folks, they turned back because they forgot. Maybe they forgot who the Lord was. They didn't consider the Lord's past accomplishments in their life, and they forgot His works and His wonders. God delivered them. God led them. God fed them. God sheltered them. God clothed them. God protected them. That's all found in verse 11 through 16. It says in verse 12, marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers. Verse 13, he divided the sea and caused them to pass through. Verse 14, in the daytime also he led them with a cloud. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink. But they forgot. And now when the battle comes, they turn back. Just because they forgot. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. How many times he has provided my need. If we were to take time tonight, and we might ought to, we could have testimony of how God provided a particular need. Isn't he wonderful? Oh, it may be something small and insignificant to somebody else, but he did it for me. It's something that I prayed for, something that I knew. Is something that I had looked for and God did it for me. Oh, don't forget those things. It may be a check that comes through the mail that you wasn't expecting. And you have to have it. And God knows when you have to have it. It may be someone helping you with something that they didn't even know you had the need with. Matthew 6:31 says, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewith shall we be clothed? How are we going to have the food and raiment? How are we going to do that? Verse 32 says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Oh, but I like this part. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Whatever it is in your life. My Heavenly Father knows what I have need of. He's never forsaken. He's never forgotten. He knows where I am. He knows what I need. But if I forget that, then I'll turn back. I may have all the armament. I may have the armor of God. And I may have the spear. And I may have the sword. And I may have the bow and the arrow. But if I forget that He knows I have need of all these things. The passage goes on there in verse number 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and guess what it says? All these things shall be added unto you. Just write it down and call it all these things. Write down your need. Write down your the needs of your life, your family, your home, you, whatever it is, write them down and just put above it all these things. Guess what? God knows all these things. And God can supply all these things. And He can add those unto us. But if we forget, and we're not interested too much in all these things being supplied, they turn back because they wasn't committed. They turn back because they would not fulfill their responsibility. They turned back because they rejected the word of the Lord, His wonders and His works. They turned back because they forgot who the Lord was. Oh, by the way, we serve Almighty God. He's not some grandfather over in heaven with his hands wringing, wondering what's going to take place. We serve God that has everything under His control. It might not be under my control, and it may seem out of control, but He has it under control. And we serve a God that knows and will help us. Oh, and if we forget, we'll turn back. But He knows we have need of all these things, and He can supply those to us. Then lastly tonight, they turn back through in consideration of their children. I mentioned a little bit about that this morning. Verse 5. For He established a testimony in Jacob, appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, and that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They were very inconsiderate. Ephraim did not realize the ultimate price for failure. The ultimate price was the loss of their children. If they're not going to battle, their children are not going to live. It's hard to battle. Yes, it is. But it's important. It's difficult. And preacher, I may lose some family member friends, but it's important. The folks down where I work, they may laugh at me, but it's important. Because in the balance are our children, our grandchildren, and those that should be born. You know, it's important tonight, and I pray this continually, it's important tonight that Grace Baptist Church stay true to the Word of God. Oh, I might not be affected if somewhere down the line it parts ways and falters and fails, because I may be gone. But these little boys and girls around here may be affected. And it's important. It's important to stand on righteousness and truth. And yes, you may lose some friends. There's some preacher acquaintances that I have that are not too friendly toward me because of my stand on certain things. And I don't get invited to their cliques, and I don't care. I'm not one of the guys, and that's okay. Because the price is too great to pay if we do not stand firm and true. The ultimate price is the loss of their family. And the price is paid in their children. Ephesians 6:4 says, "Fathers, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in nurture and admonition of the Lord." You see, we have a plan God gives us. Don't provoke them to things, but bring them up in holiness and righteousness. One time the Lord asked His disciples, "Will you go away also?" The Bible says they all forsook Him. And the Lord spoke to the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Simon Peter's always talking. Most of what he says is good. "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Who are we going to go to? You've got the words." Peter says, "And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ. We know you're Messiah. So who can we go to? Where do we go? You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God." Quitting carries a price, while serving God pays great dividends. I remember years ago, churches used to, I think this church sold bonds. And that was the way churches used to, many of them, gain their money to build a building. Later on, it became known as to be a bondservant because it didn't work out always the way it was supposed to. But my home church sold bonds. And I remember my dad it wasn't a lot, but it had some little coupons at the bottom, and they were called dividends. And every 6 months, Dad could take those little coupons and take them down to the bank where they had worked with the bank on their bonds, and the bank would give him X amount of dollars for that coupon. That was the interest that had been drawn. Really, it wasn't the bank that gave it. It was the church that gave it. The church, it was set up where the church added so people could get the interest. And it was a dividend. It was a gain. Now, some people gave the dividend back to the church, and that was good. Made it where the church didn't have to pay the interest. But some people, the reason they took it was an investment, and so they took their little coupons and they cashed them in, and they had the advantage. They had the dividends. Serving the Lord always is a dividend. Serving the Lord is always giving to you from Him. You can never outgive the Lord. I think we know that in our own personal testimonies. I think our church is a testimony that you can't outgive God. And God just keeps giving dividends. But if we quit, if we lay the armor down, price, more than the dividends will be lost. But it's a loss of a generation that is to come. Now somewhere in the country of Wales, they lost their dividend. I mean, I was in a church that was started, has a plaque, started 1692. My, what a history. That's a long time ago. That's before America was ever America. And they were worshiping the Lord. They had a plaque there. And they had preacher after preacher after preacher. And that was the only church that we went in this time that we were in that had a pastor. All the others have no pastor. Somewhere, some way, somehow, somebody failed. And all I'm trying to do in these kind of messages is to make sure that Grace Baptist Church does not fail. Because we can fail. It just takes one wrong move. It takes one wrong leader, one wrong pastor, one wrong decision. That's why it's a spiritual matter that we deal with continually, that God help us. And God help us not to be like the Ephraimites, that in the day of battle, we turn back. May we go forward. Yes, there may be problems. There may be wounds. There may be casualties, but just got to go forward because we have the plan of God. And may God help us to do that. It takes commitment. It takes a willingness. It takes a readiness. May we be that all wrapped up in one. Let's stand together tonight.